That time Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan with the cows and the cowherd boys. Krishna was very pleased with the atmosphere of the forest, where the flowers blossomed and bees and drones hummed very jubilantly. While the birds, trees and plants were all looking very happy, Krishna, tending the cows and accompanied by Sri Balaram and the cowherd boys, began to vibrate his transcendental flute. After hearing the vibration of the flute of Krishna, the gopis in Vrindavan remembered him and began to talk amongst themselves about how nicely Krishna was playing his flute. When the gopis were describing the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute, they also remembered their pastimes with him. Thus their minds became disturbed and they were unable to completely describe the beautiful vibrations. While discussing the transcendental vibration, they remembered also how Krishna dressed, decorated with a peacock feather on his head, just like a dancing actor, and with blue flowers pushed over his ear. His garment glowed yellow gold, and he was garlanded with a Vijayanti necklace. Dressed in such an attractive way, Krishna filled up the holes of his flute with nectar emanating from his lips. So they remembered him entering the forest of Vrindavan, which is always glorified by the footprints of Krishna and his companions. So that was the sound. Where we started the verse with different kinds of ears, eyes, nose. The next piece is from a paragraph from the Rasadan's introduction. The appearance of the moon increased Krishna's desire to dance with the gopis. The forests were filled with fragrant flowers. The atmosphere was cooling and festive. When the Lord began to blow his flute, all the gopis all over Vrindavan became enchanted. Their attraction to the vibration of the flute increased 1,000 times due to the rising full moon, the red horizon, the calm and cool atmosphere, and the blossoming flowers. All the gopis were by nature very much attracted to Krishna's beauty, and when they heard the vibration of his flute, they became apparently lustful to satisfy the senses of Krishna. The next is from the next chapter, Rasadans. This is Krishna's fragrance. When some of the gopis became tired from dancing and moving their bodies, they placed their hands on the shoulders of Sri Krishna. Then their hair loosened and flowers fell to the ground. When they placed their hands on Krishna's shoulder, they became overwhelmed by the fragrance of his body, which emanated from the lotus, other aromatic flowers, and the pulp of sandalwood. They became filled with attraction for him. The next one is Krishna's touch. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, all these gopis are expansions of Krishna's pleasure potency. Touching their bodies with his hands and looking at their pleasing eyes, Krishna enjoyed the gopis exactly as a child enjoys playing with the reflection of his body in a mirror. When Krishna touched the different parts of their bodies, the gopis felt surcharged with spiritual energy. They could not adjust their loosened clothes, although they tried to keep them properly adjusted. Their hair and garments became scattered, and their ornaments loosened as they forgot themselves in the company of Krishna. And the next one is Krishna's speech. After this, Lord Krishna and the gopis came out of the water and began to stroll along the bank of the Yamuna, whereby a nice breeze was blowing, carrying the aroma of different kinds of flowers over the water and land. While strolling on the bank of the Yamuna, Krishna recited various kinds of poetry. Thus he enjoyed the company of the gopis in the soothing moonlight of autumn. That was the different senses in connection with Krishna. And then the last one is the mind. If you remember in Bhagavad Gita, in two places, the end of chapter 9 and 1865, it's mentioned about the mind. Engage your 9:34. Manmana bhavamat bhakto maja jimam namaskuru mame vasyasiyuktvaivam atmanam matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. And the last thing that I wanted to read was from Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, number 30. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with a hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers, beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shama Sundra is eternally manifest. So what I was trying to do was just to fill your eyes and ears and senses with a little bit of what Krishna looks like. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions? You can also feel your consciousness change when you're in different kinds of association. If you're going to the city and it's very busy and there are crowds of people, then you can notice that you feel different than when you're in Radhadish. For me, the mode of passion is a bus station. If you're in a bus station in, say, India, has anyone ever been to India? That they're quite wild places. Some of the bus stations that I was in Bangladesh, they're for me that was just Rajagun completely. They're all so busy, to running around trying to get the customers, taking each other's customers. If you put your bags down, somebody grabs them and throws them on top of a bus. Whether you want to go on that bus or not, your bags are already on there. I was traveling with a very young brahmachari, he was 17, and there were 6 people pulling on his arms, 6 different directions, because he was obviously traveling with a foreigner that they wanted to get these customers, 6 different people pulling on his arms. Was definitely you get affected by Rajagun if you're in such a place. And if you spend a lot of time in places where there's intoxication, and you also get affected by the mode of ignorance. Officially it must be possible. Prabhupada said one time, you can put me in a room with 100 naked women, nothing will happen. He said, but you mustn't try it. He said to his brahmacharis. It's said that when we're preaching in some places, we should give our association, but not take the association. But it's not that easy. I was, last year, was living at my parents' house to give them my association. Then at the end, I noticed I was taking their association, and I thought, it's time to leave. Depends what your consciousness is. When we go to Liège on Harinam, then we're in the same consciousness that we left Radhadesh. But if we were to live in Liège long time, then it might go down. It's difficult to keep transcendental consciousness when you're not getting fed. When I was in Mayapur, they advised, I was in a seminar, and Devaki was giving the class, and she said that it's advised, I think it's Radhanath Swami who said it, to get 60% equal association, 20% senior association, and 20% junior association. So 60% senior, 60% equal association, that's quite a lot. And she said that some of the sannyasis in the early days fell down because they didn't get enough equal association. They were always with juniors the whole time, and they were alone, and so that's how that some of them fell down. It would be better for them to pair up. But because they had to cover the whole world and there were not very many of them. It's like people come here to Radhadesh to recharge their batteries, their spiritual batteries. And when you do something like a week with retreat, japa retreat, japa kirtan retreat, something like this, at the end of the week everyone's surcharged. If someone is living outside and there's not very many devotees around, then you can get association from the books, from lectures, from recordings, films of Prabhupada. That's also associating with Prabhupada. Like we watch the movies here on Mondays. You can also do that at home or listen to classes. Anyone else got a comment on that topic? You see, when you're with equals, then all your anattas come out. Then you can deal with them. But if you're only with seniors, then you might be on your best behavior and your anattas might not come out. Or you start getting familiar. That can also happen. I would advise you not to do 10 weeks, but just spread it out a little bit. I was talking about the different animals that a rabbit has very good ears, you know, they can go up and down and swivel around, and you know, they're more powerful hearing than ours. And the dog has a better nose. He's very good at sniffing out even a trail of where someone has walked. So it's that, and the birds that fly so high in the sky, they can even spot their lunch at such a height. And then I was looking for descriptions of what Krishna looks like. And then I was looking for different aspects of, like, listening to him, seeing him, smelling him, touching him, or him touching the gopis. That's what I was looking for examples of. No, it was just a comparison. around the mind. I don't know how they're grouped around the mind, I just know that the mind is superior to the senses. I just know that the mind is superior to the senses. That outlets for enjoyment. The reason why we have a body is so that we can enjoy the senses. Taste in this way, see in that way, hear in that way, to try and enjoy the material worlds until we discover that it's not possible. Or at least it's only temporary, doesn't last long, and therefore it's not real. And it's definitely not worth dying every few years. You can stay in the material world as long as you want, enjoy as much as you want, as long as you don't mind dying every few years. What? It's not real enjoyment. What's no fun about dying every few years? Getting old and... The yogis abandoning attachment act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. I couldn't remember which verse it was that was described by Maharaj Ambarish, that he used his legs for walking to the temple, he used his nose for smelling the flowers offered to Krishna, he used his tongue to taste the prasadam. I can't remember what. He used all his senses, all his body. I can't remember which verse it was. It was in the purport to one of the verses. No, the Bhagavad Gita. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. But it's mentioned in the purport, but I couldn't remember offhand which one it was. If they fight, if devotees fight, they could be born in Vrindavan as a dog, fight a little bit more. Everything you do for Krishna is eternally to your benefit. All the service that you do, Krishna is remembering it all, and he says, my devotee never perishes. Or at least he tells Arjuna to say it. Declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. There's an analogy of a road. In England, the roads are called motorways. The three lanes of traffic going one direction. I'm not sure what it's called in America. Freeway or highway or the main road. So in England, they call motorways. So you've got three lanes of traffic. And so we're on the road, the BTG1. The road back to Godhead, and along the side of the road there's a telephone every now and then, in case you get, you know, in need of help, you can phone up the local temple. And there's a little restaurant every few miles, so you can recharge your batteries. And as long as you stay on the road, you'll get back to Godhead. But if I keep chuffing along in the slow lane, how am I going to get there before it gets dark? Maybe I should pull over into the middle lane, go a little bit faster. And especially don't turn off at the exit. Disco after 3 miles. hamburger restaurant after 2 miles, just down the road. Prabhupada said that most of his disciples would go to the heavenly planets. You didn't find it? Oh. Was it recorded? Maybe in one of the other books. Maybe it's in someone's diary. He even said one time that his disciples came, were demigods, and that's why they were fighting in the beginning so much, because they were used to this position of being a demigod. Who knows? Some swamis say that if you knew who was sitting next to you, who they really were, you would like give them some more respect. If you knew their position in the spiritual world, or sometimes I look around and I think, who will be a sannyas later? Which of these new bhaktas will, you know, carry us going forward in the future? And I look at the old photographs of Prabhupada when his disciples, and I think, oh, where they are now? Are they still in ISKCON, or are they leaders now? Indian devotees, they say, wouldn't mind going to the heavenly planets. Oh, sounds quite nice. You know, it's really, really nice in the heavenly planets. You can stay for a long time, and it's very. But there's only one thing: you have to come back here. And can you imagine? You're in the heavenly planets for 10,000 years, and then you come back here. And what's it going to be like here after 10,000 years of Kali Yuga? It's going to be quite horrible. I advise you not to come back here again after 10,000 years. Just try and get back to Godhead. It's too dangerous to want to come back. Even if it's for service, it's too dangerous. A pure devotee will say, whatever you want, Krishna, life after life, I don't mind. But I'm not sure that's our level. But he wants us to go back to Godhead. Any more questions? Any comments? You mean that he can't see the devotee suffering anymore? He wants to see him? Shall we stop here? Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.